painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking. KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Today on Artbeat, we talk to local historian and stereo photography buff, Bob Taunt. Bob recently gave a presentation about the history of stereo photography at the Winona County History Center. The presentation was a compliment to an exhibit titled Victorian Winona, Through the Lens of Charles Tenney. Charles Tenney was a photographer in the Winona area in the late 1800s and produced many stereo images of the area, as was common at the time. I'm Bill Stoneberg, encouraging you to stick around to learn more about stereo photography from local historian Bob Taunt on Artbeat. Thanks for being on the show today, Bob.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
First of all, I was just kind of curious, you know, a little background on, because you did a presentation on stereo photography. It sounds like that has been around for a long time. Like, it used to be really popular, it sounds like. How did that kind of come about, and, you know, how did that get started, and what is it?
Well, stereo photography has been around for a long time. We're hearing more about it today because they're starting to produce movies in stereo. That is 3D, but the process goes back to actually 1838, which is the very beginning of photography, of any kind of photography. And back then, a fellow by the name of Charles Wheatstone in England was working to try to figure out why your eyes see depth. They realized that your two eyes see a picture that is slightly different. Mm-hmm. It's not the same, and your brain puts them together and tells you you're looking at depth on an image. So they didn't realize it back then. It seems pretty simple to us today.
Right.
And they originally tried to draw pictures of what each eye saw and then use that to produce stereo. Well, photography had come along, and they decided to use photographs to prove the point. Mm-hmm. That two pictures, although they are flat, if they're slightly different, your eyes perceive them differently, and you'll see 3D, that is, three dimensions, even though the picture's flat.
Yeah. So is it just that the pictures are just slightly framed slightly different or something? Like they're just a little bit apart? Or
there are many ways of producing stereo. And the one that we're familiar with in movies is the red-green. One eye sees red, the other eye sees green.
Right, and you get those cool glasses in the theater.
Yeah, but the simplest way to do stereo is just to having the two pictures side by side. You have to have a card that has two pictures that look identical, but they're different. And the difference is only about 2.5 inches, the difference between the distance between your two eyes.
Oh, wow.
So the simplest process is still something that everybody can do today, and especially with digital cameras, it's a lot of fun.
Right. Cool. So you could essentially, I'm assuming I could take my camera at home, take a photo and move it 2 inches, and then take another photo and maybe combine those two, or you put them side by side then to look at them?
Here's the thing. Originally, when they started doing this, they only had one camera, so they would take a picture and they had a slide bar. They'd slide it over and take the second picture. Well, nothing can move in between times, and sometimes there's a great picture of a wagon coming down a street, and everything is in 3D except the wagon because it was moving, and it's in two different places on the picture. But if you want to try this at home, and I think everybody should at least try it, it's easy and it's kind of fun. Now, your eyes can only see so far to the sides, so most cameras take a rectangular picture horizontally. You want to turn your camera vertically so that the pictures aren't too far apart. Then, and what I tell people is stand on one foot, take a picture, then stand on the other foot and take a picture. And you'll only have to move it about 2.5 inches to get the two different pictures. Now, with digital, you can put it into your computer and pull up the two pictures, put them side by side. You have to make sure that they're horizontally even. And that's also easy. You can draw a line in Publisher and match things up on the line. And then you have your stereo picture. Now, you can look at it in stereo on the computer. You can print it off your computer, or you can take it to a photo lab and have them produce a single card with the two pictures on it.
Oh, cool.
Now, how are you going to look at it?
Right. That's my next question.
Well, let's go back in history a little bit. The first viewers were complicated boxes with little hinged doors and light things and expensive lenses. And this is about 1850s. They started developing these. And they had an exposition in London, and the Queen bought one of these. Well, then everybody wanted a stereo viewer. But it was awful expensive.
Right.
A famous American, Oliver Wendell Holmes, was over in England, and he got a hold of the craze. And on his way back on the ship, it was old travel then, the only way to travel it.
Right.
On his way back on the ship, he sketched out a design for a skeletal model of a viewer. And those are the viewers that we're most familiar with today. It's called the Holmes Stereo Viewer.
Okay.
It has a slide bar, just a little housing for your eyes and the two lenses. Now, the two lenses are simply magnifiers. They only make the picture a little bit bigger. And there's a piece down the middle so that your eyes can't see the wrong picture.
Oh.
So now you can print your picture, cut it to fit into one of these viewers. Mm-hmm. They're still available all over the place.
Uh-huh.
A good price is in the $30 range.
Okay.
For a good one. But you can buy little plastic viewers online. Just a simple little thing to hold your eyes up and look through. But you don't even need that. If you can convince your eyes to look at the right picture, you don't need any kind of viewer at all.
Oh, cool.
The main thing is that your eyes want to focus on the central point. Mm-hmm. That's what you do every day.
Right.
And you've got to have them focus on two different points.
Right.
The way you can do this is hold up a piece of cardboard or your hand or something between your two eyes, so that the right eye can only see the right picture and the left eye can only see the left picture.
Okay.
And you can check yourself because you close one eye, and if the right eye can see part of the left picture, you haven't got it right.
Right.
But if you get it just right, suddenly the image will pop and you'll see it in 3D.
Oh, wow.
And if you get really good after a while, you don't need anything between your two eyes. One trick is to focus off in the distance and then hold a card up at arm's length, and your eyes at looking at a distance are more parallel than pointed in, and you'll see it. So.
Oh, wow.
So now you can do this on your computer. You can get the little plastic glasses for next to nothing, and everybody should try it. There's one limitation.
Okay.
Things can't move if you have one camera.
Oh, like
between
the horse,
shots.
In the carriage.
Yeah. But now, what I've done and had a lot of fun with it, buy two digital cameras, mount them on a frame, and fire them both at the same time. Then you can get puffs of smoke. You can get people jumping in the air. You can get horses running, all in 3D.
Oh, wow.
And you can buy electronic ways of firing your cameras. Mm-hmm. I haven't done that. Simply pushing the button on the camera at the same time, I've been able to get pictures about 80, 90% of the time.
Okay.
If they're a little bit off, you can throw them away and do
another one. Try another one, for sure. Oh, wow, that's fascinating, you know? And like I was telling you a little bit before we started, I was down at the History Center here in town, and I looked through one of those viewers, the old viewer, and I didn't realize how it was working, really. I just thought, oh, wow, this is really neat. And I remember my grandparents had one of those, too, laying around, and that's where I had seen some of those shots before, you know, of the
That's a comment that everybody says. My grandmother had one of those.
Uh-huh.
And it is true, because the stereo viewer was something, it was like the TV of the 1880s to 90s. Literally, everybody had one in their parlor.
Oh,
it was
wow.
an entertainment toy. Uh-huh. And really, the craze continued. They became a little cheaper after the 1880s, and they continued through World War I pretty much as a big industry. They had crews around the world taking pictures of every blessed thing.
Uh-huh.
And they even sold these cards door to door. So
wow.
There are actually, you go downtown to antique shop in Winona, you'll find cards.
Oh, wow.
They made millions upon millions of them.
I'm going to start keeping my eye out for that stuff because it's pretty neat, you know. I see you brought some cards here.
What yeah, we some have here? Some these... that I've made and oh, some cool. copies of old ones.
Okay.
There is also a site on the web. I don't have the address, but you can look up stereo photographs.
Mm-hmm.
And they put them up. People that have them put them up, and you can view them or copy them.
Oh, nice.
So they share, and that's a lot of fun, too.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm going to have to experiment taking some, too. That sounds really neat.
Everybody should try it.
That it's sounds fun. Like a blast. So, you know, and, you know, speaking of, you know, like when it was kind of like their television, you know, the popular thing to do, back to that exhibit, it's on Charles Tenney. He was a photographer here in town.
Right.
And I was curious because in the exhibit, it said that they had hired at one point 8 men to go out and take photographs, scenic photographs around the area. And I thought, why did a photographer need 8 people out there taking, is that why? Because they were doing these stereo imaging?
Well, not necessarily. It would be helpful to have 2 people on a crew.
Oh.
And he probably had 4 crews go in different directions to take pictures of everything. But the old cameras, you would have 2 lenses on your camera and 1 piece of film. It was a plate.
Okay.
And you'd expose the plate to the 2 lenses.
Mm-hmm.
And when you developed it, you'd have 1 piece of film with 2 circles on it.
Okay.
And those would be your 2 pictures.
Those are your 2 images, yeah.
Now, here's a bit of trivia for you.
Okay.
Most of the pictures of the Civil War, the outdoor pictures that we are all familiar with, most of those pictures were taken in stereo.
Oh, really?
And you can also go to the Library of Congress Civil War Collection Photograph Stereo and see wonderful images in high definition and free downloads.
Oh, wow.
But
nice.
Yeah, a lot of the pictures were 3D. When Mr. Brady, Matthew Brady, sent crews out, he said, always take 2 pictures in case one doesn't turn out.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to take them was side by side. And if you got both of them, you had a stereo
image.
Card too, or you could cut them in half and have 2 single pictures.
Oh, wow. That's pretty neat. I didn't know that. I didn't know it was such a popular thing, that it was such a popular process.
It
know?
Was huge. Yeah, it was huge.
You know, and I was curious, too, like the Charles Tenney that lived here in town, he had a partnership with Harry Horde, and they had the Horde and Tenney Art Emporium.
Uh-huh.
Like, would that be just a normal photography studio, or what else did they do there, do you think?
Well, one of the things that photographers did in the early years was everybody couldn't afford photographs.
Mm-hmm.
And in the early years, they didn't publish photographs. You didn't know how to do it. So if I took a picture of the mayor of Winona and you lived in a rural area, you never saw him, I could have that picture of the mayor in my gallery.
Oh.
And you could pay me a nickel or something, come in and see all the famous people from Winona.
Oh, wow.
So that was one way they made additional money is posting the pictures that they had.
Huh. And so kind of like we post pictures now, but they were actually posting them right on the wall in their studio, huh?
Right, right.
Nice.
And since it was the photographer's own picture, he had proprietary right to it, and other people couldn't have a copy of that, so you had to come to my studio to see it.
Right, to see it. Oh, wow, that's neat. I like that, a little gathering place, you know, where people could go and see this stuff. And then they also mentioned chromos, and is that a color photograph? What is a chromos?
Well, a chromatic photograph, the early photos until, what is it, the 1940s?
Okay.
Everything was black and white.
Sure.
But they would take these old pictures and hand tint them.
Oh, wow.
So they became chromatic. And you can look at some of the earliest pictures, the 1830s and 40s, and some of them are in full color. And you go, well, I didn't know they had color film back then. No, they didn't. These are all black and white. But consider this. The photographer was putting the painter out of business. the portrait painter.
Oh, sure.
So the portrait painters were very anxious to join with the photographers, and they did exquisite work tinting these pictures.
Wow.
The flesh tones are, they're just gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
So you can look at some of the early daguerreotypes, and they're full color, chromatic. Or now, when you came to Mr. Tenney's shop, if you wanted a chromos, if you wanted a color picture, they would be able to tint it a little bit. One of the things they always did was if you were wearing gold jewelry, you put a little blob of gold where the jewelry is. And some of it wasn't real great, but the jewelry and usually the tinting of the skin was something they did frequently.
Right. Oh, wow. I didn't realize they would do so much, you know. I thought, well, a photography studio, that's really cool that they had that, but it sounds like a really neat place. It's like art gallery, kind of almost a theater, everything involved, you know.
You know, we take photography for granted these days, but think back. Before the photographer got here, when grandma died, you never saw her again. There was no picture. Maybe you had a painting, but out, you know, in the wilderness here in the central part of the United States, there weren't many portrait painters. So grandma was gone forever.
Mm-hmm.
This was one of the reasons you had a viewing in the funeral home.
Okay.
Your last chance ever to see the person's image.
Right.
But now you had a photograph of the person that lasted forever.
Right.
You could have pictures of grandma and grandpa posted on your wall forever.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite a change.
Yeah.
And so now thinking about this, the photographers traveled. So they would come through town and they would advertise, I'm taking photographs, you know, come in, or I can come out to your farm and take the photograph.
Uh-huh.
But let's say the day before you were going to come to the farm, grandma died. Well, the photographer could still take her picture in the coffin.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, some people think, oh, that's horrible. And some of the pictures aren't real good either. But some of the pictures are the last opportunity that people had to see the person who was deceased.
Right.
And so those are called post-mortems, obviously,
taken
after death.
Sure, sure. And I've seen a lot of those, you know, and I often wondered, too, like, well, why did they do that? But now it makes a lot of sense, thinking, coming at it from that angle that, hey, this is the last chance.
Last chance.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty fascinating. And there's a lot of fascinating stuff down at the exhibit, too. Some of the photos and of, you know, different places, Winona, photos like taken from the bluffs, you know, down towards town.
Right. Some of those are fantastic.
Yeah.
I think Winona has it's a blessing that Mr. Tenney took stereo photos. And also there's many steamboat photos taken at Winona. We don't find that down in La Crosse. There were many photographers there, but for some reason we don't have that history. Winona's got great 3D history of places that used to be.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's fantastic. I encourage anyone to get down there. And like I said, the exhibit's going through the spring. But and then I was also curious, Bob, you know, how did you get interested in stereo photography? Like, was it through photography or through history or a combination? Or?
Yeah, my dad was an avid photographer, amateur photographer, and so he kind of passed those genes on to me. And I was reading about the history of photography, and we got to stereo, and they said, well, you can do it yourself. And so I had to try, and it was pretty good. So I began to – I have an old camera. It looks old on the outside, but it's got digital cameras inside.
Okay.
And I've traveled around for years and years taking pictures at Civil War events and other places.
Oh, cool.
And taking all those pictures with motion because I can fire at the same time.
Right.
So that's been a lot of fun. There's a trick to stereo photography. Usually when you're taking a picture, you say line up because your focal plane is flat.
Right.
And so you want everybody in a flat line.
Uh-huh.
When you're taking a stereo photograph, you want depth. So
don't
line up. Get out of kilter.
Oh.
And the best pictures will have five levels of depth. You have the immediate foreground. Then you have a little bit further foreground. Then you have the center of the picture. Then you have the background and the distant background. If you have five levels in there, you get some super pictures.
Nice.
There's one other technique In the 20s, when they were flying around in airplanes, they found out that, hey, you could take a picture out the window of the plane and it would fly 300 feet down the road before you could wind the film ahead and take another picture of the same thing.
Right.
And you had hyper stereo. The two images are way far apart.
Oh.
And what happens then is the 3D becomes super intense. It's super stands out.
Wow.
There's pictures of the Washington Monument and the Capitol and things taken from an airplane. And I've done this too, and try it. If you have a road that's parallel to the subject, I had some distant mountains and pine trees and so forth. Took one picture, drove down the road, you know, maybe an eighth of a mile, and took the other picture.
Oh, wow.
And then you put them together, and you have that super stereo that really sticks out.
Oh, boy. I'm going to go try that. That sounds really
neat.
Oh, I love it. And it's so fun to, you know, because they were doing some of the stuff out of necessity, you know, or you know, like not the stereo photography, but, you know, some of the ways they developed things and the way they shot photos. But it's such a fun creative endeavor, you know, to try to recreate that. That's fascinating to me. I love it. So, and the camera that you're talking about, did you kind of put that together yourself or?
Right. In the old days, a camera was a box, any kind of box,
right.
Just a box,
yeah.
Wooden box, with a, you know, some way of expanding it a little bit. And the main part was the lens. And the lens was two very thick pieces of glass. In the old days, they were poorly ground. The optics were pretty bad, except in the immediate center of the lens. And then you had a brass barrel on it.
Okay.
And so what I did is I made a wood box, decorated it the old style, and I found two brass lenses that were the right. Well, they match. That's the trick.
Okay, yeah.
Put them on the front of the box, and then I took the lenses out. So my digital cameras are shooting straight through with nothing in between.
Okay.
Now you can. A friend of mine is taking pictures of what comes through the glass lens. That's also a way you can do it, but that's more difficult because you have to have a lot of light to get your picture.
It's
been a lot of fun carry this around on a tripod and get people to pose. One of the pictures that I shot was a fella pointing his Civil War musket at me as a sniper would. And you're looking down the barrel, and so the stereo effect of that is incredible with the length of the barrel and a bayonet on it down to his eye. It's just incredible.
I have to try this. I know you guys can't see it there at home, but I have to try this here.
Yeah, the little plastic lenses, you can get them online. I ordered a bunch of them out of California one time, and they're just magnifiers, but they do prevent your eyes from looking at the wrong thing. So it's
Bob, this is great. That's really neat.
It's fun.
Oh, wow.
And the other one, one of the other ones there is a lady in the kitchen, the old fashioned wood stove.
Oh,
And there's in there, you have pretty much the five levels. There's a coffee pot right up front, then the stove, then the table where she's stirring something. And behind that, there's a cupboard with things on it. The depth is just incredible. I wish you could all see it. But, you know, the thing is, everybody should give it a try at least once. It's really easy to do.
That is great. And these little viewfinder glasses, where do you find these at?
I forget the name of the company, but there's several companies that sell them, and they're, you know, less than a dollar.
Oh, okay.
So
I'm going to have to pick some of those up and try this because it's really neat. If someone really wanted to learn more about, like, stereo photography, they really wanted to get into it, what are some good resources that are out there for people?
Oh, these days the internet will give you many resources. There is a group that just collects the old cards, and they publish them, as I mentioned. But there are other stereo clubs that are producing stereo pictures. And there are a number of local people that are trying to produce stereo images, but they're not a big seller.
Oh, sure.
They're interesting to look at, but for whatever reason. You know, the stereo craze kind of crashed in the 1920s.
Okay.
And I think the thing that did it in was movies.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So now you had, it wasn't a stereo picture, but you had people actually moving on the screen.
Right.
And things went down after that. However, there are pictures in World War II of stereo pictures of tanks, and someone online just posted two really interesting albums that were published in Germany. It's Reich's publishing, but showing the German army troops in the field and stuff.
Oh,
and it's all in stereo. And it's free out there. You can look at it. So just wander around on the internet. There's lots of good resources out there.
Okay. Yeah, so just search stereo photography, and you'll see what we're talking about. It's really interesting, really neat. And I like the, you know, like you showed me this, the photo of the woman cooking in those five different points. You know, it does. It makes a big difference to have, you know, the different levels of depth in there, you know, that you can see. It's really cool.
It's kind of fun. When I first started out, I was just doing it with a single camera, and I was posing behind my camera, and my son was taking the picture, and I said, okay, let's do a funny one, like I'm tripping. So I leaned out, stood on one foot, and I was able to hold still long enough for him to get two pictures, and it looks like, you know, I'm tumbling.
But. Well, you could certainly have a lot of fun with it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And I want to try that thing where you drive down the road, because that sounds really interesting. Get a nice big scenic shot that's in 3D.
If you go over on the Wisconsin side and shoot the tooth over here, that'll pop out at you. And then also the church dome and some of the other things in town will really pop out.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So just out of curiosity, how far down the road do you think you have to go? Like,
It all depends what you want to do.
Depends on how big the photo is going to be and how...
Think of it this way. Your eyes are only 2.5 inches apart because your arm's length is only as long as it is.
Okay.
And that's where most of your focus is. When we look off in the distance, we know it's 3D, but, you know, it kind of looks flat.
Right.
If you're able to pull your eyes farther and farther apart, you would suddenly see how much depth there is in the distance.
Oh, wow.
And it would actually look, it would give you a perception of depth even larger than is actually there.
Oh, wow.
That's the hyper stereo.
Oh, neat. Oh, I love it. Well, we're kind of running short on time here, but, I'm talking to Bob Taunt here. He recently did a presentation called Victorian VR, A History of Stereo Photography. So that's what we've been talking about today, is stereo photography. And if you want to see some examples of stereo photography and some nice historical photos, there's an exhibit going on right now called Victorian Winona Through the Lens of Charles Tenney. And that is at the Winona County History Center now through the spring of 2020. So thanks so much for being with us today, Bob.
My pleasure. Glad to be here, and hope everybody gives it a try because it's a lot of fun.
Thanks again to Bob Taunt for joining us today on ArtBeat. For more information about the exhibit Victorian Winona Through the Lens of Charles Tenney, go to winonahistory.org. For more conversations on art, tune into ArtBeat Tuesdays at 12:30 right here on 89.5 KQAL. I'm Bill Stoneberg, and we've just heard from local historian and stereo photography buff Bob Taunt on ArtBeat.
ArtBeat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.
Is art an important part of your life? Find podcasts of ArtBeat and all your favorite KQAL shows at kqal.org. ArtBeat is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.